Looking at the altar table with our gifts here, and well, it just brought me joy. I was just kind of reminded that the gift that Christ really wants from us is He wants us to be on the altar. Do you know that? Because if we lay ourselves on the altar of Christ, then everything else comes with us. All of our fears and all of our dreams and our future and our finances and our relationships, all of those things come with us if we lay ourselves on the altar. And so just a little side note, you don't have to pay anything extra for that. It's just an additional thought. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 16. Like the haircut there, dude. Yeah. You need to send Fraser to your barber. Give him the address. Yeah, okay. Well, all right. Matthew chapter 16. Beginning in verse 13. This is not a traditional Advent passage, but it ties with where I want us to go today, where I think the Lord would have us to go today. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. If that's your prayer this morning, church, say it with me. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority, Holy Spirit, and change our hearts. Transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. Continue the sermon series. In fact, conclude the sermon series this morning, our Advent sermon series, Must Without Christ. Must Without Christ. And we've been talking about how is Christ really in Christmas? And I showed you last week that there truly is a war on Christmas. Did you know I showed you the 40 foot by 40 foot picture of the 40 foot by 40 foot sign that is in Times Square that says "Who needs Christ in Christmas? Nobody." Paid for by a national atheist group, and there really is this campaign to take Christ out of Christmas. We see it all around us, and so the question for us, church, is Christ in our Christmas, or have we bought into the secular way of celebrating Christmas, where it's just all about gifts and I kind of confessed the first week my journey into Walmart on Thanksgiving night. And, man, I tell you what, my mama told me when I was growing up, watch out for the people you hang out with. So Lee Butler, man, it's the last time I listened to you, man. It was a train wreck. First week that this series is Christ in your heart? Because if Christ is not in your heart, then he's not in your home, and he's certainly not in your church. Is Christ in your heart, church? Because that's where it all starts. And then if Christ is in your heart, then he should be in your home, because I told you last week, he's kind of like glitter in a good sense. Once you get glitter on you, you never get it off. Do you know I dreamed about glitter last night? I'm not kidding you. I dreamed about glitter. I think I've got an illness. I'm not sure. Somebody actually looked it up. My friend over here with the new haircut looked it up, and it's called, what's it called? What was it called, Billy? There's a phobia for a fear of glitter. I don't have a fear of glitter. I had glitter. I just have a real distaste for glitter. But Jesus, in a good sense, I can't believe I'm comparing my Lord to glitter. But Jesus, in a good sense, should be like glitter. Once you get Jesus on you, you can't get him off. He and he's someone you want to be on you. He comes into your home and he comes into your church. So today is Christ in our church. Is Christ in our church? I want to start out just by kind of framing again who we should be, who we have said we are as a church in our mission. And this is even globally in our United Methodist Church has taken on this this mission statement of we should be about making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. So I want to ask you just for a second, is that who we are? Are we a people that are about making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world? And so kind of coming down what we've kind of taken on as a church, how do we accomplish that? Is we have talked about that we should be a church that loves God, that loves people, and that we offer people Christ. So I want to ask you, are we a church that is about making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world? And do we do that by loving God, loving people, and offering them Christ? Because that should be the epitome of who we are as a church. So I was thinking through, and some of this is on the back of your bulletin. You can see some of the things that we contribute to and participate in as a church. So I want to talk about a few things real briefly here and just kind of paint a little picture of who we are corporately as Wiley United Methodist Church. So how are we doing in this whole is Christ in our church thing? We support St. John's Baptist Church, which I don't know about you. I mean, I absolutely love just the idea of that. I really do. Because number one, they're north side, we're south side. They're primarily a black church. We're primarily a white church. They are Baptist. We're Methodist. There is nothing that bonds us together. No offense over there, my brother Tim Thompson. I love you, brother. All right, we got one black man in the house, and I love Tim Thompson. But I want to tell you that nothing really unites us except Christ. But that's all we need. You know, we have over the last several years, God has knit our hearts together with them. We've so many times we've done so many things. Our staff, we did it regularly every week until a while back, and there's some health issues with them, and it's gotten more complicated. But there for about 4 or 5 years, every week we would go and pray with them. Our staff and their staff, and it's just God was just knitting our hearts together. We support them financially. You know, probably I'm getting off track here, but I just want you to, I want to paint this picture. You know, when we first created a relationship with them and began to bond our hearts together, I went over, I don't know if you remember, a few years ago, Pastor Hood came over here and preached in my pulpit, and I went and preached in his pulpit, and we swapped, And I remember they passed the offering plate, and Cheryl always puts in our offering here. And so it just kind of startled me. So I grabbed my wallet over there, and I just grabbed a $20 bill out of my wallet, and they passed the plate by, and I put it in. And over there, they pass the offering plate. When they're through, they go count it, and then they come announce that right there during the service what they've collected. And as I recall, it was that particular Sunday, it was like $41. And I thought to myself, dang, 20 of that was mine. So had I not been there that Sunday, they would have collected $21. And I thought, how do they keep the lights on? How do they do any ministry? How do they support their staff? How do they do anything? And so I asked Pastor Hood, I said, brother, how does your church pay your bills? How do you get even gas money to come to church, anything? He said, I don't make any money. I don't make any money. And we manage. People donate when we feed the neighborhood. People will do the meals and all. And these are poor folks. And so that was, I don't know, roughly 5 or 6 years ago. And I approached our finance committee and our church council, and I said, we need to step up and we need to help support this church. And so we have been for several years, we've sent them $650 a month to help support that church. Now, you may like that or you may not like that, but I think Jesus likes it. And our, you know, unanimously our committee said, yes, let's do that. Yes, let's do that. And so we, as a church, I'm just blessed. Because a lot of churches, I would have presented that thought to a committee and they would say, they're a bunch of heathen Baptists over there. That ain't our business. But unanimously our committee said, yes, let's do that. So we support St. John's Baptist Church. We support the Carver neighborhood. We've rebuilt three homes over there. We do our Turkey Tuesday. Many of you contributed to that, and we had abundance of turkeys. And you know what? People start coming out. It's like my next-door neighbor's aunt's uncle's cousin would like a turkey. Can we have one of those? Yeah, take one. And we just have blessed that neighborhood and surrounding people. We've painted their church. We've re-roofed their church. We've put a new sign in front of their church. When we started going over there, they had this sign. It was hand-painted out front. It was just hand-painted. Somebody had just kind of got a brush and just kind of, St. John's. And I thought, man, let's get them a pretty sign. Let's get them a pretty sign. They've got a pretty sign now. We support Love and Care Ministries, and all these dollar amounts are in your bulletin. We have a His Hands ministry where we average over $1,000 a month building things like Granny's house, and now a new lady that was on the street is now in that home, and we remodeled and redid Lake Stanford House. Bob and Kathy Sanders, when their house was flooded in Lake Stanford a few years ago, and the water was literally up to the ceiling in their house, and this man had cancer and was undergoing treatment, and we came and we just swooped in on that house, and we started loving on this family that we had no idea, we'd never met them in our life, and you guys started loving on them. We provided Russell a house. Russell has now had a stroke, and Billy and I are going to be checking on him in January to see if he's going to be able to come back and be in his home. The Rodriguez family, most of you don't know, but several people went over and did some home repair for a Rodriguez family that Love and Care Ministries put us in contact with. Granbury was hit with a tornado. Alfonso and his family are now in a remodeled home because of the efforts of many of you and others. Our Methodist Food Pantry and Service Center, many of you serve in that area. We contribute financially. We support three foreign missionaries each month for all over the world, China and India and Afghanistan. We average over $1,500 a month for hurting families. Families come to us or we get through this and that, and they just like, hey, so-and-so's sick, and they've got cancer, and they've lost their job, and they're hungry, and they're fixing to lose their home or whatever, and we support those kinds of needs. Over $2,600 a month goes to ministries throughout our Northwest Texas Conference. Salvation Army, we support them with our 100 angels each year. We do that for Angel Tree, but we support them financially each month. Pregnancy Resources of Abilene, which cares for pregnant ladies and helps them with their needs. Regional Crime Victims Crisis Center, when people have been savagely attacked and hurt and have had violent crime against them, we come in and we support the people who minister to those victims of crime. Prison ministry, Kairos ministry, nursing home manicure ministry. I love that. Some of our ladies paint fingernails in the nursing home. Isn't that sweet? That's awesome. I mean, Jesus is smiling on that kind of ministry. Our UMW does all sorts of good things in our church and beyond. We have women's captivating treats, men's warrior boot camps, communion stewards that you know, things don't just happen. Did you know that magically we don't just have bread and juice each month for communion? Did you know somebody prepares that? We have people that purchase that and prepare that and lay it out and then clean it up afterwards. Did you know those things don't just happen? We have people that do those kinds of things. We have Sunday school teachers, many who have preached, who have taught Sunday school for over 20 and 30 years. We have sound and website volunteers that do things do those kinds of things as volunteers. We have meal prep volunteers, people who serve ones who are sick or who have had death or illness. We have greeters and ushers. We have people that work in Vacation Bible School and Christmas Workshop, which we had last week, which was a joy. I mean, just to see all the children. And as much as seeing all the children was to see all of the adults smiling and laughing and having a great time with the children. College ministry, youth ministry, shut-in outreach. We have people that take bulletins and DVDs to our shut-ins and with visits, and we take communion from time to time to our shut-ins. One of our Sunday school classes last week took gift baskets to our shut-ins that can't make it to church anymore and said, "Hey, we haven't forgotten you." We have prayer teams and praise teams. On and on I could go, and I haven't even scratched the surface of who we are as a church. But here's what I want us to think for just a minute. First of all, as I went through that list, I want you to think, am I involved in any of that? I want you to think about it. Did I help with any of that? Maybe you're right square in the middle of it, and perhaps not. Perhaps the Lord is convicting you. But as we think about our church, I want you to realize that this building is not the church. Take out your right index finger, hold it up. If some of you may need to help the one beside you, figure out which one is the right index finger. Now I point right here. That's the church. That's the church. It's not this. It's not the sign out front. It's not the preacher. It's not our committees. We are the church. The church is the body of redeemed believers in Jesus Christ. That's the church. So are you seeing a pattern here from each one of these Sundays? Is Christ in your heart? Is Christ in your home? Is Christ in your church? What is it really saying? Is Christ in here? Is Christ in here? Because when Christ is in here, all sorts of things begin to happen. Churches corporately are transformed, and suddenly things start happening even more so. Do you realize that as many things as we've done as a church, a corporate church, as many things as we've done to try to bless our community on behalf of Christ, do you know we haven't even scratched the surface of who God is calling us to be? We haven't even scratched the surface until every one of us is fully engaged in the ministry of Jesus Christ. We have not scratched the surface of who God is calling us to be. Because you know the old saying that 20% of the people do 80% of the work, give 80% of the giving, do 80% of the ministry? It's true. So I guess we need to ask ourselves, am I a part of the 80 or the part of the 20? Where do I fit? So, what is Christ telling us in this passage today about the church, His church? Number one, Christ says that His church is founded on the truth of who He is. And again, as we talk about church, remember, we're talking about us. Because we are Christ's church. And we come together and we form the corporate body of believers, but really, we are the church. Christ says that His church, us, that we, it's founded on the truth of who He is. Simon Peter answered when Jesus said, Who do you say that I am? Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Well, I want us to dissect that for just a second. The first thing is the Christ. You are the Christ. That points to the divinity of Christ. It shows His office or His position of authority, who He is. It's a title. He is the Christ. He has all authority. And then He says, goes on to say, "You're the Christ, you're the Son." It designates His person, His humanity, that in a way, He's just like us. He's a Son. It says that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. God became flesh and dwelt among us. And then He goes on to say, "You're the Son of the living God, the one true living God, our Savior and our Redeemer." That it, so So that Peter's answer encapsulated the entirety of who Jesus is. You're the Christ. You have all authority. You are high and exalted. You're the Son. You're just like us. But you happen to be the Son of the one true living God. You're our Savior and our Redeemer. When the angel announced to Mary and to Joseph and to the shepherds that Jesus would be born, he said that he would be our Savior. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is 100% man and 100% God. Now, I don't know. I can't do. I mean, I'm not very good at math. But I understand that. Jesus is 100% man and he's 100% God. You know, listen to Matthew 1, chapter 20. Joseph, son of David, the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived," or if you listen to the children a couple of weeks ago, "convinced in her." Didn't you love that? If you missed that, that was priceless. It was precious. "What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." You see, right away, the angel is proclaiming a Savior has been born to you. "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Second thing, Christ says that his church is established by spiritual means through faith. Spiritual means through faith. In other words, I want us to hear that the church is not established by being good. That's a mistake many, many, many Christians, and I dare say even some churches and denominations, think it's all about being good, obeying the law. Listen to what Jesus said to Simon. He said, "Blessed are," when Simon said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus replied to him. He said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man." In other words, this wasn't revealed to you by what the Pharisees have taught you or the scriptures have shown you. But he said, "But it's been revealed to you by my Father in heaven." Something supernatural, spiritually revealed to Peter who Christ was. We look in chapter 2 of Luke. I love this story. A lot of people don't know this story about a man named Simeon. When Christ was born, and on the eighth day, it was the tradition of the Jews to take the male child to be circumcised, take him to the temple to be circumcised. And so that's the journey that Mary and Joseph are on, and they're taking the eight-day-old Jesus, and we pick it up in verse 25. "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." Something spiritual is going on in this man. "It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Moved by, and this, remember, they'd been waiting hundreds of years for this promised Messiah. And the Holy Spirit had communicated to Simeon, "You will not die until you lay eyes on him." Moved by the Spirit, boy, that Spirit's all over the place here. "He went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised.'" Can you imagine that moment? Can you imagine that moment for Simeon? He's holding the child, this eight-day-old child. "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." There's that word again, salvation. Something to be the church, something supernatural, something spiritual must take place in us. It's not about being good. Church, do you want Christ to be in our church? Do you want him to be in us? It's not about being good. All the things that we've done to serve our community and so forth, if we don't offer Christ, we're just a resounding gong. We have nothing to offer if we don't offer Christ. Something spiritual has to take place. Galatians 2 says, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Third thing, Christ says that his church is invincible. Now, I'm going to preach to myself for a second. If you guys want to hang on and listen, that's okay too. Christ's church is invincible. Sometimes, this is confession time. Sometimes, I watch what's going on in our nation, in our culture, and I get discouraged. I don't know if anybody else does. I mean, I tell Cheryl, I was like, I can either be an ostrich with stick my head in the sand and not pay attention, or I hear what is going on in our world and I get discouraged. Sometimes it feels like to me that the enemy's winning. Is it just me? Sometimes I feel like the enemy is winning. But we have God's promise. Listen to his promise. He tells Peter, I tell you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. What promise is he telling him that he will build his church on? I am the Christ. Not some people, some Christians, probably well-meaning Christians, have taken that to be like, well, he's talking about Peter. He's going to build the church on Peter. No. Peter hadn't done anything for me. Jesus hung on a cross for me. And he's telling Peter, on this rock I will build my church. The rock is, I am the Christ. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. There's no circumstance or trial that will overcome me. My church will stand because it stands on me. I am the Christ. I am the rock. And you can bet on it. You can bank on it. Because the church is established on the position, power, and authority of the strong rock of Jesus Christ. And I don't care what the world looks like. I don't care what chaos we see around us. Christ is on the throne. And he's not going anywhere. In fact, he even warns us that these things would happen. That our world would begin to look and get crazier. I don't know about you, but it's pretty dang crazy. I mean, just open up the newspaper, read the news, and it's pretty crazy. But listen to what Jesus says about the man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. So church, is our foundation on the rock? Is your foundation on the rock? I just want with all my heart for us to be a church, a group of believers that is passionately sold out to Jesus Christ. That's you want to know what I want for Christmas? That's what I want for Christmas. I want us to be that kind of church. And I want us, each one of us, I don't want one person to be left behind in that endeavor. That we would be a people that's passionately sold out to the heart of God. And I really believe that we have a really great start as a church. I believe we are doing some wonderful things through our... I actually get people around our community that will come to me and say, I had just a few weeks ago, I had a pastor came to me and said, I want you to know that I see, and many see, the wonderful things that Wiley United Methodist Church is doing in our community. And it blessed me. I mean, it just blessed me. I can't even tell you how that blessed me. But I'm also telling you that we haven't even scratched the surface. If people are seeing something in us, then there's more. There's more. Is there anybody that thinks that we have done all that God has called us to do? I mean, are we through? I believe God is just starting to do what he wants to do in us and through us. Listen to the words of Paul. Paul said it this way to the Colossian church. He said, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you, his church, by Christ's physical body through death to present you in his sight without blemish and free from accusation." So he's saying, Paul is saying, he's like, you used to be lost, but because of the life, death, and resurrection, what Christ has done in you, now you can be presented holy in God's sight. And then he goes on to say, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. And here's the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ, did you know that's the hope of glory? Did you know what we have to offer is Christ in us? Christ, Paul is saying, Christ in you is the hope of glory. You want to give hope to your community? You want to give hope to your family? You want to give hope to your neighbors? You want to give hope to your coworkers? Christ in you is the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Do you hear the heart cry of Paul? We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. He's saying, Christ in us, the hope of glory, is to be shared. It's to be shared. To this end, Paul says, I labor, struggling with all his energy which so powerfully works in me. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Our mission, our call on our life as a church is to go and tell. To go and be the church. Is Christ in your heart? Is Christ in your home? Is Christ in our church? Is Christ in you the hope of glory? Who have you told about that lately? That's what we have, church. It's one thing to feed the hungry. It's another thing to pass out turkeys. And it's another thing to build houses. But we have Christ, the hope of glory, residing in us. And that's what's to be shared. That's what will make a difference. That's what's eternal. If you would bow your heads to pray with me. If our praise team would go ahead and come up as I close us in prayer. Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We proclaim it with Peter. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And you have come to make us whole. We pray now, Jesus, that you would show us how to build our house on that rock. That Christ would truly reside in our heart and reside in our home and reside in our church. And that we would truly be a people that loves God and loves people and offers them Christ. That you would give us a passion. Father, if we're right in the middle of everything that's going on here, then just continue to strengthen us and empower us. But if we're on the outside looking in, convict us. Convict us to be passionate about your people, passionate about your kingdom. Help us to be a people that makes disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Help us to be that kind of church, that kind of people. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the season that we remember that you cared enough to send him, become one of us, and to save us. Give us a clean heart. Give us a passion for your people. In Jesus' name, amen. stand if you're able as we close. I invite you, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, if you've never invited Him into your heart, what a great Sunday to do that. I invite you to come and visit with me. If you've already invited Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to pray that prayer with me, that Christ would become more and we would become less as we close.
Humbly to the earth you came, born into this world to sing. God with us, Emmanuel, now we adore your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name. Let the nations sing it louder. Nothing has the power to save but your name. Jesus, in your name we pray. Strong and mighty tower, your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder. For nothing has the power to save but your name. Is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder. Nothing has the power to save. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, for nothing has the power to save your name.
Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Is He in your heart? Is He in your home? Is He in our church? Go and tell someone. God bless you. Merry Christmas. We are dismissed.
Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder. Nothing has the power to save.
God with us.
God with us. Amen.